Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I knew of a counselor who loved to help people. And there was this young man who sought his help. And he managed to lead him to Christ. And he continued to encourage him. And his encouragement included buying him many Christian books, visiting him, bringing him out, fellowship with him through meals, and remember special occasions, and of course he invited him to church. After many months of such spiritual activities, one day this young man knocked on his door, and then lo and behold, he was very disturbed and distraught because he was struggling with his studies. And he was overwhelmed. And in this state of confusion, he said to this counselor, "I do not want you to communicate with me anymore. I do not want to believe in Christ anymore. And these are all the Christian books that you have given to me. I would like to return them to you." And then the young man walked away. And this counselor was devastated. He was so devastated that he stopped attending church. And then finally, after many days, he contacted me. And when he came to my office, I was shocked to see how he looked. He was not the same man as I knew him. He was broken. He was confused. Thank God he has recovered and he is now worshiping faithfully with us. It is good to help people. It is indeed a privilege to help people because it means you are lightening the load of the person you are helping, which it also means that you are shifting the load from his shoulder to your own. What happened when you are weak and the load that you have taken out of that person that you have now placed on your shoulders crushed you? Your emotional well-being, your mental and spiritual well-being are now crushed. That is what the Apostle Paul wanted to avoid. And that is why in the first two verses of chapter 6, when he talks about how we need to bear one another's burdens, that he had to qualify himself and to make sure that before you bear another person's burden, that you should first bear your own. Because if you are not able to bear your own and you go around bearing other people's burdens, you know that this testimony of this counselor is not an uncommon testimony. I've heard of others, and some of them even far worse, where the counselor himself was theologically trained, with a doctoral in theology, taught in Bible college, pastor of a church, and then at the end, he gave up everything. He was so devastated that he said, "Don't contact me. I'm not going to help Christ anymore. When I helped Christ with all of Christ's disciples, now that I'm in trouble, nobody came to my help. Enough." He turned off everything, cut off every tie, every communication. Bearing our own burdens is a very important first step. As you want to help others, ask yourself, how stable is my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? How firm is my foundation in the faith that I confess or profess that I am a disciple of Christ? Because this is a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle. You thrust yourself in the front line. Not just any front line. You thrust yourself in the hottest part of the battlefield, in the front line. What do you think will be the enemy's assault on you like? Every arrow, every bullet will be focused on you. Because when the devil wants to snare someone, and the person is snared, and the person is now a victim and struggling, and then now you want to go into his area of battlefield and pull him out, save him, as it were. What do you think the devil will do to you? What do you think the enemy will do to you? I am about to succeed in destroying his holy witness and testimony. And now you're trying to pull him out and save him and to resurrect back his testimony that I'm now on the brink of destroying. He will come after you. Not just you, but everyone that you care for will now become his target, because you want to involve yourselves with somebody else's burden. And so the first thing we see from verse 3, when we think of our own burdens that we need to bear and carry well, it is the burden of pride that we must first discard. There are a lot of burdens in our lives. Some of them we should continue to manage and carry faithfully. But there are those that have to be discarded, thrown away, additional burdens that should not be there in the first place. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now this is a very clear and frightful warning to all of us. When the Bible here says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, what does that mean? This is a spiritual realm, a spiritual battle. When a person thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, let's look at the word nothing. Does it include or does it refer to someone who is very well educated? This word nothing? With many, many degrees and very, very clever in almost every field of studies? Or does it word nothing include someone who is very, very rich, a lord of strong, stable financial power, a multi-billionaire, richest man in Singapore, related to you, given you a blank check? Anytime you are in trouble, you need any financial assistance, do not hesitate to come. I have more than enough for myself, my family, my loved ones, and definitely more than enough for you too. And so now you have peace of mind. Or does this word nothing refer to someone who has high authorities, or at least connection to people in high power and authority who can command military might, political might, and can get a lot of things done because of their connection, their power given to them by men? Does it include all these? The answer, of course, is a resounding yes. If you think that you can help someone because you have all the education, because you have all the money, because you have all the connection, and therefore you are full of confidence, and then you go around helping this person, helping that person, getting them out of this problem, out of this trouble. That person is struggling with gambling, and now he finds himself in a big debt. And then they come to you, and you are sure, I have a relative who is a billionaire who has promised me that he is going to help me, and so therefore I will help you. How much? And so you got the money. You bail him out of this hole that he has dug himself in. He's no longer in debt. And so he is very, very lighthearted, very grateful, and very thankful to you. Or it could be someone whose children are struggling with some subjects and studies. And you are so smart and so clever in every field of arts and science. And they come to you for help, and you give some tuition. And then within a few months, that person's children are now doing extremely well in school because of your tuition, your ability to help them in all their subjects. Or because this person is now in trouble with some legal issue. And because of your high connection with certain people in high power and authority, including some judges, you're able to help him through it all because you know the law very well and you know the right lawyer and the right people. And therefore, that person is now out of trouble because of your help. And so you go around helping so many people, and so many people whom you have helped are eternally grateful to you. Well, the counsel from God is, if a man think himself to be something, right, you think you are somebody because you have all the knowledge, you have all the money, you have all the connection, and so therefore you think you are something, you are someone of great influence and of great help, which you are, in a way. Well, God says, but in my eyes, you are nothing. You deceive yourself. Because that person who is, or who was, addicted to gambling, dug himself into a hole, you just fill the hole back for him. Would you be surprised if a few months down the road, he will dug it up again? And he'll find himself in a hole again because he is addicted to gambling. Paying his debt is not going to help him. He's going back to gambling pretty soon. And then he's going to come to you again pretty soon. And then you're going to help him again and again and again. Did you really help him or did you not help him? Not at all. Because what he needs is to get out of this addiction. Not someone to clear his debt so that he can gamble again. And again, the student who is struggling with exams and studies, he needs more than just a tutor that will help him overcome his weakness in certain subjects. He needs the Savior. For the real exam is not on pen and paper. You know that. But his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you solve all his problems on pen and paper. Did you help him to draw closer to Christ? Did you point him to the Savior? You help him point to yourself. Where every time he sees you, wow, this is my teacher, you know. You know how smart and how clever he is? I was a failed student, an F student. Now I am an A student because of him. Where is Christ? And all your high-powered political connection, you drag him out of this pit. He becomes so beholden to you that his loyalty shifted away from Christ to you. And now you have yourself a very, very good follower, might even have become your slave, your yes man. Because he is now so beholden to you. You help his son, his daughter out of jail or the most difficult embarrassment. Where is Christ? The burden of self-reliance, the burden of pride, we have to bear in mind it must be discarded, or else we are deceiving ourselves, thinking that we can help others, not realizing that we are bankrupt in our own spiritual life and our walk with the Lord. There is nothing wrong to think that you are something because you are something. The problem with verse 3 for us, a warning, is when you think you are something that you can help someone when you are nothing, that is the problem. And you walk around deceiving yourself, creating more problems than helping people out of problems. If you think you are something, that you are a good counselor because you know God's word, you are a child of God, and you are strong and stable in your walk with the Lord, by all means, carry the burden of others. Because you are something. You are called by the Lord to help, just like many of God's apostles and the Old Testament prophets. The context of verse 3 is the burden of pride that we need to discard. And even if you have all the spiritual gifts given to you and you are ready to help, and you know enough of God's word to help, but beware that when you help, you do so as a humble, unprofitable servant of Christ. Do not help people in the guise of helping them, but in reality, you are nothing but a man with a cultic desire that is to draw men unto yourself, which the Apostle Paul considers such a dangerous enemy to every believer. Remember Acts 20, two kinds of enemies of the church. Outside, he described them as ravening wolves, hungry wolves, seeking whom they might enter in and devour and eat them up. But the more deadly and dangerous are the people from within. People that we know. People that we pray with, we serve with, we fellowship with. People whom we might even be related to us. And by their help and their assistance, they draw men unto themselves. That's cultic, isn't it? Shift your loyalty and your devotion away from Christ to themselves. That's why it is deadly and dangerous when God's people go around telling people, "Wow, you must do this and do that, you know, because pastors say so." You know how terrible a statement you have just declared? Pastors say so? Not God said so? Not God's word say so? Pastors say so? So therefore you do it because pastors say so? What did the pastor do for you that you want to quote him and he becomes the authority whereby you're going to conform and change your life? What did he do for you? Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He did not. He did not pay you your salary. Therefore, you don't have to go to his office and company to work there for 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Right? That's what you do in the company. And therefore, why are you here? My boss says so. Why is he your boss? He paid me. That's why it is so deadly and dangerous when we are nothing and we think we are something. The burden of pride. Get rid of it. You mean believers have this? Big time. The worst kind. Because this kind of pride is done and committed in the name of Christ. The pride that are found in Gentiles who are unbelievers, the name of Christ is not damaged, not marred, not diminished in the slightest. But the pride committed by God's people, if you don't discard it, the name of Christ will be dragged down the mud. It's only a matter of time. Why do you think God spent 40 long years bankrupting Moses of every ounce of self-confidence before he began to call him, "Lead my people out of Egypt"? Because there was no room for the confidence in God to have a place as long as there is one tiny little residue of the pride of life, self-reliance in Moses. Oh, he had a lot of connection. He had all the money, he had all the connection, he had all the education. 40 years living, growing up in Pharaoh's daughter's house, the best Egypt could offer him. At the time, Egypt was at the height of her glory. That God could not use such a believer. His Bible college seminary was in the back parts of the wilderness of Midian. And little by little, day by day, 40 long years, Moses was made ready by God. So much so that he learned it from the first moment when he said to the Lord, "Who am I, God? To go to Pharaoh?" That's correct. It's not who you are, Moses, that you go to Pharaoh. It's who I am. But who are you, Lord? He began to learn. And that's what we need. That's what all of us need. And so the burden of pride must be discarded. And then in verse 4, we have the burden of balance. The burden of balance, I describe it. This we must develop. More and more balance, because every phase of our lives, it will change. You and I will change as individuals, Our minds will change as we age. Our heart can change as well if we are not careful. With the love of Christ, or called the love of God, will not be as hot as it used to be. And the circumstances around us will also change. When you retire, you don't have to go to office anymore. Now you've got more time in your hands. What do? When you are studying and now you have stopped studying, you're entering into national service or into the working world, what are you going to do? So environment will change. Now that some of you have become grandparents, you now have a new love that you never experienced before in your life, your grandchild or grandchildren. And so now you have an additional responsibility. Your feeling has now increased with one more love for someone that you never had before, and you never knew what it was like until you first became a grandparent. Like parents, the same. You got married, fine. And now you become parents, children enter into your life, it's going to be different. The burden of balance. What does that mean? Let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. In other words, when you help someone, okay, let's say you help someone, that person is struggling with his faith as a believer and so on. He is weeping, he is crying, and he is weak. And then you have to spend many weeks and months helping him, strengthening him. And then now you look at him and he is so delightful, he is so happy. He has been taken out of this valley. And now he is on the near top of the hill. He comes to church and he's rejoicing and he's so happy and he's so delighted because his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is now restored, vibrant, alive. He is now so sure by the mercies of God that he is indeed a child of God. And then as a child of God, or no, as you, the counselor, help him. And then you see this happiness, this joy in him. Are you happy? I'm sure you are happy. Well, the Lord says, then shall he have rejoicing in himself and not in another. The Lord says, you should not be happy in that way, in another. Oh, you are happy for him. He is now experiencing the fruit of salvation. He is now experiencing the evidence of salvation. He loves to pray now. He loves to worship. And he is serving faithfully. And so he has a lot of evidence of salvation. Do you have? Helping someone out of the valley of despondency in their Christian walk does not make you a believer. You know that, right? We all love to read a lot of biography. I love reading biography as a young believer. The lives of so many of God's saints of old. Read the life of Spurgeon a few times. Read the testimony of George Mueller, the man of God. The man of God whom God used to raise up the orphanage during the midst of the depression in the early 1900s. A man of faith. A man who shared that every prayer he prayed for, answered by God, not one was not answered. Amazing testimony from a playboy, from a wretch to a believer, a mighty man of God. Full of faith. Wonderful testimony. You feel so good at the end. And you feel very warm-hearted, and sometimes you even shed a few tears because you're so touched by their lives. All these are nice experiences until you take a step back and say, but they are not mine. It's his. He endured suffering. He stayed the course. He refused to compromise. He was in prison. And then while he was in prison, he still held on to his faith. And then you are warm and you are encouraged and so on. You feel so good at the end, as if you have lived a wonderful Christian life. But when you look back, it's not me. And so the feeling of victory, the feeling of joy, is not real. Because it's not your life. You did not pray. You did not go to prison. You did not persevere through the imprisonment. He did. That's why the burden of balance. Help others by all means. But make sure that you first and foremost prove your own work. What work? Evidence of salvation. That's the first. Let every man test. This word proof is like to test whether the gold is really gold or is it fool's gold. That's the meaning of test. Put into a laboratory, you put a little bit of chemical here, chemical there, and then you will know for a fact, this is real gold, not fool's gold, because they look the same. Both are heavy, both are shining and glittering, both are the same yellowish color. One is fake, one is real. And so prove it, test it. And so you have to prove, to make sure that you are born again first and foremost. Before you go around helping people out of their Christian valley of despondency, whereby they begin to experience their own evidence of salvation, and then at the end of it, you might find yourself lacking. You know how tragic and how sad it is for people who go around giving tracts and others believe in what they have read in the tracts and come to know Christ and enter the kingdom of heaven. And when they arrive in the kingdom of heaven, they try to look for you and find you so that they can thank you. They could not find you at all. You mean God can use the tract that I give to people and then they take it and they read it and they are convicted and they are saved by the Spirit of God? And man, you mean I, the one who give the tract, may not be born again? Of course not. Surely, you think by giving a tract you're going to be born again? How many helped Noah build the ark and knew the ark inside out but not found themselves inside the ark? You may know Christianity inside out because of your great brain, because of your ability to remember. And yet, if you are not in Christ, then Christ is not in you. You are not born again. That's why the burden of balance. Help people by all means. But first, make sure of your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's how the Apostle Paul put it in the epistle to the Philippians. And that's what we need to take heed. Go around helping people, saving others, and leading them out of their valley of despondency. They are all good things. But God says, please, not at the expense of your own salvation, not at the expense of your own spiritual well-being. That's why you've got to prove your own work. So that when you experience all these in genuine sincerity, all your struggles and how God has literally held your hand and see you through your own personal adversities and all your personal challenges and difficulties, then the joy is in yourself. The joy is real because it is based upon your own real personal experiences. Not the joy that you see in others that you help to restore. That kind of joy is important, provided first you have your own story to tell of how the Lord Jesus Christ saved you, helped you, strengthen you, seen you through your own adversities, through your own prayer, and you have seen and experienced how your own prayers before God have been answered, rather than to feel a very warm feeling as you read about how God answered all the prayers of George Mueller. But not one of your own prayer, because you hardly pray. Isn't that a very sad and tragic way to live? Helping others to become better, more effective Christians and witnesses for Christ and servants of Christ, and you find yourself outside, not even in the kingdom perhaps. Guiding people in, come friend, enter, this is the kingdom of heaven, enter, enter, one by one, enter. But you are outside helping them enter. Should you not be inside? Instead of outside helping them enter and enter, and then you become so happy. Wow, I'm so happy to see you entering. I'm so happy to see you entering. I'm so happy to see you entering. But you are outside. Your rejoicing should not be in another.
Your rejoicing should be in your own personal experiences, because you are also found inside. And you have tasted the spiritual warfare and the battles, and you have your own battle scars. You have your own struggle. That is what the Lord says you have to prove. And then you have your own rejoicing that is your personal testimony. All of us need that. The burden of balance. Don't stop helping others. Balance. Make sure of your own salvation. And continue to help others. And develop both of them at the same time. As your life moves from phase 1 to phase 2 to phase 3. Progressing from young adult to adult to senior adult. Two golden years. Every phase is a new challenge in itself, with very different struggles and problems. Young adults, beginning in life, beginning in work, struggling to make ends meet, many mortgages to pay, planning for children's education, the challenge of parenthood with young children, depending entirely upon your help. And then as they grow, so will you. You now become an adult. They are now teenagers with new challenges and new problems, more established in your work environment, more stable in your income to be able to manage all your financial challenges. And then that area seems more stable. But now with teenage children, teenage issues and problems. And then when you cross to the next phase, senior adults, on the brink of retirement, children are now men and women, planning to get married, again a different challenge, making sure that they choose the right life partner, and all of them ought to be believers. But then now you are finishing and ending your employment life. Different challenges, different fears. What am I going to do after I retire? So much time in my hands. Lord, show me, guide me, help me. And then once you cross into the golden years, you look back. Most of your race is completed. You can even see the finishing line in front of you. And then you look back. Regrets, plenty. Any good works that you have done for Christ, maybe some, here, there, a little bit here, a little bit there. But now you're preparing to meet the Lord. And another kind of fear, are you ready? Every phase requires a proper balance. The burden that we carry, the burden of young parenting, the burden of teenage parenting, the burden of retirement, the burden of the final lap of our race of life. Balance each and every one of them, and through it all, help. Help people, but not at the expense of your own spiritual well-being, where you fail to have any real experiential joy with your own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while you see it in others. And then, finally, the burden of responsibility. From the burden of pride to discard, to the burden of balance that we need to develop as we age, and now the burden of responsibility that we need to retain. The word burden in verse 2 is not the same as the one in verse 5, even though it's the same in English. The word burden in verse 2 literally means something that is heavy and weighted, like a dead weight, that you add on to your shoulder, that you take the weight out of the other person, let's say 100 pounds. You take 50 pounds away from him so that he carries 50, you carry 50. Now that is the meaning of the word burden in verse 2, dead weight. But the burden in verse 5 refers to the cargo inside a ship. It refers to your responsibility. Part of freight, part of the burden of life. You have parents, you are a believer, your burden is to be a godly son to your parents. That's the burden of verse 5. Your responsibility. When you get married, you are the head of the house now. You have this burden, your responsibility to be the head of the house, guarding, looking after your own spiritual life and that of your wife. And then when children come, that of your children, you've got to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Your responsibility, that's the burden of verse 5. And as you grow older and older, all these are part and parcel of your burden. In other words, the responsibilities that the Lord has entrusted to you, which will also include the ministries that the Lord has put into your hands for you to serve in. Now, they are not like the dead weight that is in verse 2, where you can take out of another person's shoulder and lighten his load. This is the day-to-day responsibilities that you have, and the counsel from God's word is, for every man shall bear his own burdens. And therefore, you have to make sure that all areas of your life, all these different responsibilities that the Lord has given to you, are carefully managed before you add more weight to your shoulder in taking over other people's responsibility. And that's why this is called the burden of responsibility that you have to retain as you add more to it. And so as you add more to it, you better know that you can manage. For example, that person is struggling with his own children's upbringing, and then you want to go and help the person, give him counsel to help him lighten the load and help his children. Are you able to first help your own children before you add more of children's trouble that belongs to somebody else's family? Are you able to? You and I know that in life, there is a progression that cannot be vitiated. From dependence, as we grow, we depend upon our parents for our entire makeup. From the financial dependence to the emotional dependence, to the mental dependence and the spiritual dependence. We need our parents to teach us, guide us, help us. And then later on, you want to get married. Once you get married, it's called interdependence, where you do not only carry your own mental, emotional, spiritual weight, but now you want to carry the other person as well, your wife's. You cannot skip the middle step from dependence to interdependence. You have to go through the middle portion, which is called independence. That means you have to grow up and to become a man where your emotional stability is there, where your mental ability is there, where your financial ability is there, where you are able to manage as an independent person. Then you think of adding the other person's burden onto you. That illustration is likened to the spiritual as well. When you are just a babe in Christ, we are in the dependent stage. We hardly know anything about what it means to be a Christian. And so we ask, can you teach me how to pray? Can you teach me how to study the Bible? Can you teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me? Completely 100% dependent like a baby, just born again. Then as you mature, as you grow, you must now be mature enough to stand on your own 2 feet, to be able to counsel people. When people ask you, why do we pray in Jesus' name? You give the teaching. How should I address God when I pray? What's the difference between the invisible church and the local church? Now you're able to help and answer all these. And then you go to the next phase, where you fight battles. You challenge false teachers who now come to attack God's word, God's people. You confront them. You don't do that when you're a baby in Christ. You probably become a casualty. But now that you are able to help your fellow younger believers, which When you were young, they helped you, now your turn to help them. Then now you're able to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Because that's what burden involves, right? You become the target of the devil. That's why this burden of responsibility, you retain it and you manage it well with proper balance. In other words, know yourself. Know your spiritual gift. Know your calling. Strengthen every area of your life so that at the end of helping people, contending for the faith, doing the work of the Lord, after all these things, you remain strong and stable, and your spiritual well-being is very, very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you pray without ceasing, you rejoice evermore, and you learn to give thanks in all things, because you know this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's why we need to bear our own burdens, by first discarding the wrong kind of burdens, especially the burden of pride. And then as you look at your life, make sure that you carry the burden of balancing every aspect very, very carefully, and develop them as you grow in age. Make sure you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. And then the burden of responsibilities, you have to manage all of them. And do not enhance one area at the expense of another. Because we all have responsibilities. And these responsibilities will change. Some will be taken away. Some will be added on. But each and every one of them, you retain them because they are from God to you. And you got to bear all of them well to God's glory, so that this life that you live will truly be a blessing to others, because you are able to bear your own burdens and also the burdens of others for His glory. Let us pray. Almighty God, our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to realize how wonderful a life that you have given to us in Christ Jesus. For the Lord has told us that once we have Christ in us and we are in Christ, we will have life, and we will have it more abundantly. And truly, O God, how rich our life is, because it is a life that is measured in terms of all things eternal. Our walk with Thee, our love and desire to study the Word of God with the mind of Christ to understand it, and with the heart of Christ to obey it, because we love You. And help us, O Lord, never to be weary in well-doing, for we know that if we faint not in due season, we will reap what we will sow. And what we have sown, O Lord, is the evidence of one who is truly born again, and helping others who are struggling with their faith to become stronger and more mature in their walk with the Lord, so that they will also be strong in Christ Jesus. And together as a family of God in truth, BP Church, may we all truly be each other's keepers, brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, and as a family of God, hand in hand, may everyone who is a child of God arrived home in glory, standing before the Lord Jesus Christ as an assembly of faithful disciples, hear from the Lord say to each and everyone, well done, and welcome home, all of my good and faithful servants. This is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O Lord, for each other. May this be our burden for one another, even as we bear our own burden in Christ Jesus, making sure of our salvation and our calling. And may we be found faithful, and none of us be found wanting. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.